Bishops from across southeastern Europe are concluding a meeting in Nicosia, Cyprus, which has been looking at the vital work of youth ministry ahead of World Youth Day in Madrid later this year. The meeting, organised by the Council of European Bishops' Conferences, has been hosted by the Maronite Church in Cyprus, the largest of four minority Catholic communities. Philippa Hitchin is in Cyprus with the bishops and sends this report.
A Journey Through Time was the title of a multimedia musical performance staged for the bishops on their last evening in Nicosia by students from a state school named after Saint Maron, founder of the Maronite Catholic community. Through popular songs and dances to a backdrop of old photographs and film footage, the children, clad in traditional embroidered costumes, reenacted the story of their proud and turbulent past, a people deeply attached to the land, part of which is no longer theirs. Earlier in the day, we had crossed the dividing line that has run like an ugly great scar across this magnificent Mediterranean island since Turkish troops occupied the northern part in 1974. Together with the visiting bishops, a few local clergy and their friends, I boarded a bus, handed over my passport, and was driven through a ghostly no-man's land, past deserted shells of houses with grass growing up around the broken windows and scattered groups of soldiers standing idly by. Once on the Turkish side, there is a large statue of Ataturk and dozens of red and white flags. The largest flag is dug into the mountainside and lit up at night, making it visible as soon as you arrive at the main Larnaca airport, almost an hour's drive away on the Greek side of the island. From the windows of the bus, I caught glimpses of long abandoned villages, a bombed out Orthodox monastery with crumbling cloisters and flocks of sheep grazing on the wide grassy plain. After following a narrow winding road for a short while, we arrived at the village of Karpatcha, which counts less than a dozen very elderly inhabitants, those Maronite men and women who refused to flee during the invasion and have remained there ever since. To pass the time, they cultivate a few vegetables and keep watch over the Holy Cross Church with its ancient painted wooden crucifix that miraculously survived both the bombing and the looting, which destroyed a large part of the cultural heritage here. The church bell echoed into the distance as we walked towards this place of prayer and stepped inside for a shared moment of worship. I could see the emotion on the weather-beaten faces of the old men and women, as well as in the eyes of the younger priests and lay people who were returning for a rare visit to their ancestral land. One by one, they stepped forward to venerate their precious icon before it was locked away again beside the altar until the next visit from behind the green line. After that, we moved on to the village of Kormakitis, where over 100 people still live and have renovated some of the houses, plus the Church of St. George, looked after lovingly by three elderly Franciscan sisters. There, the Maronite Archbishop, Youssef Souaif, celebrated Mass for our group and for the local community in their ancient Oriental rite. As we drove back towards the border between these two worlds, I began to understand the Archbishop's words about the need to create a new mentality amongst the young people of Cyprus. Stepping across a line, whether a physical or cultural or religious barrier, is never an easy thing to do, away from the security of our own identity and traditions. Yet the future of this country depends upon young and old alike, and religious and political leaders too, finding the courage to do just that. To reach out beyond the divisions to the shared multicultural heritage that has marked this island for centuries. In Cyprus, I'm Philippa Hitchin.